Amen. Well, our heart burns after the Lord. Our heart burns after the Lord. We desire that He would come and give us understanding in the Word today and instruct us for His life-giving Spirit. Today I want to speak on a chosen life, a life chosen by the Lord. And the title is The Rod of an Almond Tree. In John chapter 15 and verse 16 to begin with, Jesus said these words to His disciples. John 15 verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Jesus Christ chose the disciples. How did He choose them and how does He choose us? In Luke chapter 6, it tells us how the Lord chose them, that He spent a whole night in prayer. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. It came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles. Simon Peter, James and John, and the list goes on of the 12, and among them one was a devil, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus Christ chose His disciples. He chose them not after the choosing of man. He chose them by the Spirit of God. He prayed all night, and then He chose them, and there was a divine revelation concerning every one. The Bible says that God does not look on the outward appearance as man does, but God sees the heart of a person. God sees our heart. Man looks on the outward appearance and chooses after the popularity, the image, the personality, the charisma, the talents that a person might have. But the Lord looks upon the heart. He looks on the inside. The Bible says that He chose these men because of something that was in their spirit toward the future of His kingdom and for the work of God. The Bible says that He chose David. I have chosen David. I've taken him from the sheepfolds as he was among the flock of God, learning in humility, worshiping. I chose David, my servant, and I used him. I set him as ruler over the people. Seven brothers passed by, and then little David was brought in. He wasn't even considered among the seven. And even Samuel, the prophet, was fooled by the brothers. He said he looked upon them, and their stature was great, and their countenance was strong, and they were men of might and ability. And even Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed must be before me. But the Lord said, I do not look as man looks. I look differently. I look at the heart. I don't look on the outward appearance. I look on the spirit of a person. And we know that David was a man after God's heart. God is looking for people that are after His heart, that desire His kingdom, that desire the spiritual realm above everything else in their life. And He puts choice upon them. Jesus said these words, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. The Lord is looking to make choice. How many want to be chosen of the Lord? Yes, we do. That's our heart. We want the Lord to put choice on us, to look out over the disciples and see something in us that He's attracted to. He said, I will put my hand upon that man, upon that woman's life. Now we come to Numbers chapter 17 today. Numbers 17, and first of all, I want to note verse 5 before we read some verses. The Lord said, it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. God said, I'm going to choose the rods, the tree branches. He said, I'm going to choose a man. I'm going to choose people. But the man whom I will choose, that man's tree, that rod, that walking stick in his hand shall blossom. Shall blossom. God wants to choose us, and He wants us to flourish. 17 and verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod, it's a tree walking stick, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods, Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation. You shall lay these rods up in the tabernacle, in the house of God, before the testimony where I will meet with you. God says, there's a place that I meet with my people. It's in the Holy of Holies. It's in the intense presence of my house. That's where I will meet with my people. And the tabernacle, the word testimony there, to explain for a moment, before the testimony, the tabernacle or house of God was sometimes called the tabernacle of testimony or the ark of the testimony, because that's where the testimony of the Lord was. And the testimony of the Lord was the Word of God. It was written on two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments reduced to two, love God and love man. And Jesus said, on these two commandments hang the entire Word of God. So the Ten Commandments represent love for God, love for man, the outworking of the entire Word of God, and they were in the Ark of the Covenant, those two tablets, and therefore it's called the Tabernacle of the Testimony. The Word of God was there. Now the Lord said, I want the rods to be laid up in my presence, in the tabernacle of the congregation, where my Word is. And then verse 5, it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds, ripe almonds. The rod of Aaron, his walking stick, laid up in the presence of God before the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, that rod budded, blossomed, and bore ripe almonds. God wants to choose us and put us in a certain place so he can bring forth fruitfulness out of our lives. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you that you would bring forth much fruit and that your fruit should remain. 3 points this morning. Number one, there is only one place of fruitfulness for you, the house of the Lord and the felt presence of God. And the sooner we learn it, the better off we are. The only place of fruitfulness for us is the house of the Lord and the felt presence of God. Aaron's rod, that walking stick, it was a lifeless rod. It had been severed from the root beneath, from sustenance beneath. It had been stripped of branches. The fruit had been taken off. It was a dead, lifeless stick. And that lifeless stick represents your life and it represents mine. Without him, we can do nothing to bring forth spiritual life, spiritual fruit in ourselves. Once we were rooted in this world and there was fruit and we are flourishing, but we know the Bible says it was the fruit of sin, the fruit of an evil heart. But there came a day when God cut us out of this world. He cut us off from the life source of this world in our salvation and in our repentance. And we can no longer draw life from this world. The fruit, the foliage of this world has been stripped off our lives. And the only place we can be fruitful now as people of God is if we receive miracle life in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, in the congregation of his people. There is no other way that we can have life. We live a miracle life. There's nothing for us except the presence of the Lord to minister to us and lift us up supernaturally in the resurrection power and life of the Lord. And we all know how dead we are.
We must understand how dead we are, how lifeless we are without the life of the Spirit of God, without the miracle life of the Lord upon us. One of the deadest things you will ever see is a Christian who has been severed from this world. He's been saved. He's been brought out of the world, but he has not learned how to live in the presence of God, in the power of the Word of God, in the fruitful place, in the Holy of Holies with the Lord. That's one of the deadest things you will ever see in this world. I mean, the worldling, the non-Christian, looks like they have more life than a Christian like that. Now, they don't. They're living a sinful life, world produce, but they appear more because this person has no flourishing. This person, this dead stick, has not learned how to abide in the presence of God and truly to live after the Spirit of the Lord. There's only one place of fruitfulness for a Christian, and that is the Holy of Holies, the house of the Lord, the congregation of God in the midst of his people, drawing resurrection life, laying there close to the Ark of the Covenant, being sustained by the Holy Lord. One place of life. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Number two, get into the presence of God and you will be amazed at how quickly you can bear fruit. Get into the presence of God, and you'll be amazed how quickly you can bear fruit. Aaron was only in the presence of God for a night. That stick represented his life. It represented who he was, his ministry. One night in the holy presence, and that almond rod sprouted with branches and green leaves, and there were buds and blossoms and ripe almonds all at the same time. One night in the presence of the Lord. One night in the presence of the Lord. The fruitfulness of God isn't as far from you as you think. It's close. It's close. Go lay up your life close to the Ark of the Covenant. Go lay your life in the presence of the Lord. It was laid up in the night. Night speaks of two things. One, there is literal night and there is spiritual night. We all understand that every evening, night comes. Let's learn to lay up our life. Let's learn to lay up our walking stick, our life, in the presence of the Lord at night. Let there be some flourishing on the branches overnight. Let the Spirit of God minister to us. But it's a decision. I have to lay my life close to the Lord at night. I have to lay my life up in His presence at night. And then the presence of the Lord can come. It can minister. It can bring blessing upon our life. Job said, God gives songs in the night. The manna comes down in the night. The living word of God, the bread from heaven, comes down in the night for God's people. David said in Psalm 119, I anticipate the night watches. I anticipate the nighttime because then I'm going to meditate on the word of God. I'm going to think on the word. I'm going to pray. The activities of the day are done. I'm laying my life up in the presence of the Lord at night, and He's speaking to me. And when I wake up in the morning, I have the living word of God in my life. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. There's something that God wants to do with us in the night, and we must open up to it as His people. Psalm 127:2 says, while His beloved sleep, God's gifts are given. While His beloved sleep, God's gifts are given. Isaiah said in chapter 50 and verse 4, He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. All night he was under the tutelage of the Lord. He was in the school of the God Spirit, and he woke up with revelation. Isn't it wonderful when you wake up in the morning sometimes and the song of the Lord, there's a song that's in your heart and flowing from your spirit. You know the Holy Spirit has been ministering to you through the night. Sometimes you wake up and the scripture is there and the living word of God is in your heart and you feel like, yes, I went to the school and I learned last night. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Even though I didn't go to school as other people, He speaks to me in the night. David, anticipating the night watches, say, David, aren't you sleeping at night? Yes, I am, but I'm also under the power of the Holy Spirit all night long. I anticipate the night watches. What a beautiful way to live. Song of Solomon 5:2. The beloved, the Lord, comes to his bride. He says, open to me, my love, my dove. He comes, it says, it's nighttime. He says, open to me. She says, I'm asleep, but my heart wakes. I am asleep. Your body can rest and your spirit can be awake and you can wake up refreshed in the presence of the Lord. I sleep, but my heart wakes. And she says, it's the voice of my beloved. He's saying to me, open to me, my love, my undefiled, my dove. Open to me. Receive me right now because my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. The dew of the night. The drops of God's anointing, the beautiful presence of the Lord to minister us so that we can, like Aaron's rod, flourish in the morning, produce and bring forth life. Job said these words. He said, the dew lay all night on my branch, Job 29. The dew of heaven lay all night on my branches, just like Aaron. The dew lay on my branches and my glory was refreshed in me. My glory, my spirit, the presence of God, the glow of the Holy Spirit was fresh in me, and my bow was strong in my hands. Job says, that's the way I woke up in the morning when the presence of God is on my life. Dew of heaven, the blessing of the Lord comes. We need to lay up our life. We need to lay up our life at nighttime in the presence of God. If you lay your head on your pillow, move into a heavenly dimension. Ask God to minister to you. Speak in tongues as you lie on your bed. Begin to praise the Lord. Lift up your heart to heaven so God can come by the Holy Spirit and minister to you in the night so you can bud and blossom and bear fruit unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Felt like I was in a Presbyterian church this morning. But I think it's Presbyterian. You should be shouting amen. Because those are the processes of the Lord. While his beloved sleep, God's gifts are given. There's another nighttime we face. And that is the nighttime of difficult experiences, difficult times, trial, perplexity, anxiety. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. There are night seasons that come upon us. And when we face trial, when we face temptation, when we face difficulty, when we face struggle and tension, we have to lay up our life close to the Ark of the Covenant. We have to bring our life into the presence of God in a very deliberate way. Sometimes we're so prone to pulling away when we're in struggle and trial, when we should be coming and bringing some fasting prayers. And when we're in struggle, we draw closer to God. We spend more time in His Word. We draw even closer in our prayers and worship to the Lord because that's the place of His answer. What do you do in the night? What do you do when temptation and struggle is on you? Pull away from church? Drop your Bible reading, or do you say, no, I'm going for the presence of God. I will be constant in trial. As we heard this morning, I will be constant in trial. I will serve the Lord. When there's difficulty, I will draw close to the presence of God like never before. Amen. See, in the nighttime, you have to lay the rod up before the Ark of the Covenant, and God will minister to you. The Bible says that God dwells in the thick darkness. Solomon's word. He says, God dwells in the thick darkness. When it's thick, when it's difficult, when there's trial and difficulty, he says, God dwells in the thick darkness. Or what about Psalm 18:11? He made darkness his secret place. God makes darkness his secret place. He that seeks me in secret, the Lord says, I will reward openly. so that when you go into your private place of prayer, the Father sees in secret. His eyes are open in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of dimensions we do not see in, and He will reward us openly. Psalm 18:11, He made darkness His secret place. It's in the darkness that God reveals His greatest secrets to His servants. In times of trial and difficulty, if we will draw close to the Lord, we will behold some of His greatest wonders. We will behold some of the greatest wisdom and teachings that God can ever impart into our life. He makes darkness His secret place. Psalm 25 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. The secret of the Lord, the secret of counsel of the Lord, the deep, satisfying fellowship of the Lord is with those that fear Him. We do not need to be afraid of nighttime. We should not fear the dark. Don't be afraid of the dark. Your God dwells in the thick darkness. He makes that His secret place. He will teach you wonderful things about Him, and He will refine your life, and He will bring forth your life in the daytime more fruitful than you could ever have imagined. But in the night seasons, you have to draw close to the Ark of the Covenant. Get into the Holy of Holies. Get into the presence of God and serve Him. Our Lord walks on the water at night. Storm on the sea. Disciples are alarmed, not knowing what to do. Their backs and shoulders and arms are breaking because they've been straining against the waves and against the wind for hours. But Jesus came walking on the water. He came to them in the night. They weren't expecting Him. In the nighttime, they thought the only thing that's going to show up is a devil. Those disciples, because of their lack of understanding of where they were at that point in their life, they were more attuned to devils in the darkness than God in the darkness. What's the devil doing? The devil must be against me. I'm fighting the devil all night long. So much so that when Jesus came walking on the water, they thought it was an apparition. They cried out and said, "It's a ghost." He said, "It is I." The I Am, the great divine name. And He stilled the waters and He stepped into their boat. Don't fear devils. The only ghost that's coming to you in the nighttime is the Holy Ghost. That's who's coming to you. That's who's coming to me in the night seasons. And so we lay up our life close to the presence of God. Every night in a literal way, and then the night times of our life, we lay our life close to the presence of the Lord. And it's amazing how the fruitfulness of God, we can't explain it, it's a miracle. We are lifeless. We have no life of our own. But as we are in the presence of God, something happens. Resurrection life, Holy Spirit life takes hold of us. And we bud, and we blossom, and we bear. Amen. And we're entirely amazed at the process of the Lord and of His work in our lives. Number three, live in the presence of God and you can bear fruit for a lifetime. Live in the presence of God. Learn how to live in the presence of God, and you can bear fruit for a lifetime. Their leaf will never fade or wither. Whatever they do will prosper because they're in the presence of the Lord. The Lord told Moses, He said, "Take that rod that has sprouted, that walking stick with branches and leaves, and it's got buds and blossoms and flowers and ripened almonds on it. You take that walking stick, and I want you to lay it up in My presence within the Holy of Holies, where My intense presence is, where I said I would speak to My people. I want that rod laid up right there by the Ark of the Covenant in My intense presence." And so Moses took that rod, and he brought it in the presence of God, and that rod remained filled with life. It never withered. It never withered throughout their journeys. As long as they had the Ark of the Covenant, and it's interesting that in Hebrews 9:4, it says that rod was eventually, it was placed right inside the Ark of the Covenant, where was the golden pot of manna that never spoiled. And where were the tables of the law? Aaron's rod was put right inside the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the throne and direct presence of the Lord. And that rod never withered. It was fruitful its whole life. Representing Aaron, he was working outside. He was doing duties. He was taking care of his family. He was ministering at the temple. He had all the duties of life that we do in his civilization and day. And yet, that rod that budded never withered. He never lost fruitfulness in his life. He served God his whole life, and his fruit remained. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we feel depleted. We've given and we've given and we've served, and fruit has come off our life, and people have taken the almonds, and it seems like the fruit has been taken. What do we do now? Just stay in the presence of God, and that life will flourish again and again and again. It never ends. People can take the fruit of your life. People can be fed by you. You can bless people. You can serve your family. You can serve this world and sacrifice till you feel like you've got nothing left. There's one way to fix it. All it takes is a night in the presence of God. When you feel empty, when you feel like you have nothing more to give, just get into the presence of God for a night, and you'll be amazed at the miracle life that's flowing in you by morning time. That's the beautiful way of the Lord. My, the fruit of the Spirit, this miracle life. We overcome sin and error. We overcome the temptations of this world. We overcome difficulties and we make our way through problems because this life of the Lord is living in us. This is the dimension where God wants us to live. He says, I want you to learn to live in my presence. Learn to live next to the Ark of the Covenant. Learn to live in my house, in the congregation where I speak. Learn to live in that holy place. That's where I will meet you. That's where I will bring forth life. There is a place in the spiritual realm. Jesus said we're not of the world, that he took us out of the world, but yet we're in the world. We are living in two spheres at the same time. We walk on the ground of this world, but we're living in heavenly places at the same time. We live in the kingdom of God. We live in a spiritual realm, and we must remain there. We must remain there, or we feel very quickly how lifeless we really are. Our life is only in that presence of God, that miracle place of the Lord. The Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in a spiritual dimension, banished to the Isle of Patmos, a prisoner, someone cast away. And yet he said, while I'm on Patmos, in this dreary place I'm at, laboring in the quarry mines as a prisoner. He said, I'm in the Spirit. I'm in a higher dimension. He says, I'm living life in the Spirit. It's called the kingdom of God. Jesus said, unless a person is born again, they cannot see and they cannot enter the kingdom of God. But when we are born again, all of a sudden our eyes are opened. We see another realm. We see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my kingdom does not come with natural observation as the kingdom of man. My kingdom is in a spiritual dimension. And when we accept Christ as Savior, we are taken out of the kingdom of this world and we are set into the kingdom of God. We enter a new dimension in which to live. It's the realm of the Holy Spirit. It's the realm of the miracle power and life of God in us. Amen. And we can tell when we're living there, and we can tell when we drop into a natural realm, into a human existence. If we will lay our life before the Ark of the Covenant, we'll rise. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, said some amazing words. He said to the religious leaders of his day, unregenerate men, he said, where I am, you cannot come. Where I am, you cannot come. Not where I was, heaven, before my incarnation. Not where I'm going back to heaven. He said, where I am right now, you cannot come. Jesus was living in a dimension they knew nothing about. He was living in that presence of God. He was living in that miracle fruitfulness, that supernatural life of the Lord. He said as well, he said, I'm the Son of Man that came down from heaven, but then he said, I am in heaven. John 3:13. He said, the Son of Man who is, present tense, who is in heaven. He said, I came down from heaven, but I'm still in heaven. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Present tense. Jesus was living in heaven while he was on earth, and so can we. We live a heavenly life. Heaven is fellowship with the Father. Heaven is life with the Holy Spirit. Heaven is the supernatural fruitfulness and flourishing of the Lord upon our lives. That is heaven to us. John 1, I think it's verse 17 or 18, Jesus said that I am right now in the bosom of the Father. He said, the Son of Man who is in the bosom of the Father. No, we'd say, Jesus, you were in the bosom of the Father, which speaks of that place of tender love and relationship with your Father, but you left that place and you came down into this world. You'll go back to the bosom of the Father, but surely you aren't in the bosom of the Father right now. You're walking down here in this hostile world. There's rejection against you. There's strain on you. There's all kinds of situations that come and go. No, Jesus said, I am in the bosom of my Father right now. I'm held in his love. I'm held in his care. I'm held in his embrace right now. Hallelujah. Life in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I encourage us. Let's live our life in the presence of God. Let's lay up our life before the Ark of the Covenant. Let's live our life in the Holy of Holies, and we will live miracle life while we're walking in this world. Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Are you living in his presence? Has fullness of joy taken hold of you? In his presence is fullness of joy. If I don't have fullness of joy and song and rejoicing and praise and miracle life and rivers of living water flowing out of me, I know I'm not living close enough in his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. And I just need to move closer to the Ark of the Covenant. I need to move closer to where the Lord's voice is. And there will be pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. This is the life of the Lord. Aaron's rod that sprouted, that budded. Let's close out with Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, the Lord said, what do you see? Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen. The Lord wants us to see well this morning. What do you see? I see the rod of an almond tree. The Lord said, you have seen well. You have got some spiritual understanding. For I will hasten my word. The margin says, I will watch over my word to perform it. He says, I will watch over you to perform my pleasure. What do you see? I see the rod of an almond tree. I see a lifeless stick severed from life beneath, and I have no sustenance of my own in this world. But I know where I know where the presence of God is. I know where I can find fruitfulness. I know where sap will run within my spirit and branches and almonds will appear. He says, you've seen well. The interesting thing about the almond tree is that it was called the watcher, or the wakeful tree, the waking tree, or the waking fruit, because the almond tree in the land of Israel is the first tree in the spring of the year that begins to bud and blossom and begins to bear fruit. It's the first tree. It's the awakener. It's the sign of springtime. It's the sign of fruitfulness that the winter is over. The winter is over. Even in late January, the buds begin to form. And so we've been there on the tour a number of times. By mid-February, the trees are white, white with flowers. The almond tree shall flourish. Let's bring up that picture of the almond tree. It's up there. The almond tree, the white flowers, and the beautiful tree. That is what the Lord says. That is what I want to do with you. While, listen close, while other trees are still sleeping, the almond tree is awake. The almond tree is alive. It's up early. It's out early. You know what the Lord says? If you want to be fruitful, if you want to have the anointing like Aaron, if you want a blessed life, if you want to prosper in my kingdom and know my presence and be filled with my joy, you need to be early to the prayer room. Early to the house of God. Early to the place of the word, eager to serve and love the Lord, eager to worship and be a frontline warrior of the Lord, eager for the house of God. The Lord says, if you will be an almond tree, if you'll be a watcher, my promise will be fulfilled in you, and you will flourish, and you will live with life forever in the presence of the Lord. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens me. I'm an almond tree. Yes, he's going to put fruit on my life. He's going to quicken my life during the night. I'm an almond tree. He wakens me. He wakens my ear. Oh, I'm listening. I hear you in the morning, Lord. My ears are open. Not just stumble out of bed for another day. Lord, in the morning as I'm waking, what are you saying? I want to sensitize myself to your presence and to your spirit. I sleep, but my heart wakes. My heart wakes. I'm an almond tree. I know I need miracle life from the Lord, so I set myself in his presence. Let's close out with Psalm 57, verses 7 to 9. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. That is my tongue, my systems to praise the Lord. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O God, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Hallelujah. It's good to be an almond branch, isn't it? Hallelujah. No life out of this world for us anymore. We try and go back and get some life out of this world. It's as dead as can be, and we all feel it and know it. There's nothing for us in this world, but we can't stay where we are. We have to get into the presence of God. We have to get into the house of the Lord, in the midst of the congregation, next to the Ark of the Covenant, where the word of the testimony is, where the pot of manna that never spoils is. And there we will find our life, and we will flourish and serve God all our days. Psalm 92 says, even in old age they shall be green and flourishing before the Lord. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. The altars are open this morning. If you'd like prayer, rededication to the Lord, want to consecrate yourself to the Lord in a new way, the altars are open. People will be here to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, come and receive the Lord. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but by Him. Jesus said, there's no other way to heaven but through me. He wants to give you eternal life today if you don't know him. Forgiveness of sins, lift you up into his presence, lift you up into the spiritual dimension of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Again, if you'd like prayer for any need, please slip out from where you are and make your way down to the front. But for a few moments as we close out in worship, let's take our place as an almond branch. Let's take our place. Say, Lord, I lay up my life right now in your presence. Coming right next to you, Lord. I feel fruitless. I feel depleted. I feel like I have nothing. And the truth is, we have nothing, because without him, we can do nothing. But when we're close to him, my, do we flourish. My, do we flourish. So let's draw close to the Lord as we end the service today.